For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. This morning's second reading comes from Matthew. It is the story of the woman with the daughter who is possessed by demons. And it is Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by demons." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting at us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep in the house of Israel." But she came and she knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she responded, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." For her daughter was healed instantly. This ends the gospel reading for this morning. Let us pray. Dear God, may we sense your presence among us, that we may recognize you in each other and together know your healing and your hope. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Wake you up this morning. "I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg and plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, because you mean that much to me. Ain't too proud to beg, sweet darling. Please don't leave me, girl. Don't you go." What great words. The song is "Ain't Too Proud to Beg," and it was a Motown hit in 1966 for the Temptations, reaching as high as number 13 on the Billboard charts. It was actually number one on the Billboard charts for R&B. In the regular charts, it hit up to 13. And it stayed up in the number one spot on the R&B board for 13 weeks. The song's lyrics feature a narrator who is pleading and begging for a second chance with his departing lover. And it opens with a very determined statement. "I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go." The narrator is saying that he ain't too proud to beg or plead. So desperate is he to have his lover return back to him. And the story in this morning's reading is the story of a mother who has a similar desperate need for a demon to be removed from her daughter. In simple terms, she is a mother who isn't too proud to beg in order to help her child. Now, this woman is a Gentile. She is from the region of Tyre and Sidon, which today would be considered modern Lebanon. And she shouldn't even be thinking about approaching Jesus, because that certainly was not the cultural norm of her day. And yet she continues to cry out repeatedly, pleading for his mercy, and she will not give up. You know, there's a story about Martin Luther that was written by one of his students. And after class one day, Martin Luther and his students went to the dining hall to have dinner together. And with them was Martin Luther's puppy. And the dog's name was Topol. And Topol was sitting under the table with his eyes fixed upon his master. And his attention was totally fixated on the food that was on the table. And he sat there motionless. Now, y'all know I have a dog named Cash, and he can do that really well. You know, the most attention I get from him is if I've got food in my mouth or food in my hand. And he, too, sits up very upright, and he puts his ears forward like a good retriever will. And then the little bubbles start forming around his lips, and then we get a little bit of drool, and it's like it's embarrassing how badly this dog will beg for something. And Luther said, "Oh, if I could only pray the way this dog watches the meat. All his thoughts are concentrated on a piece of meat. Otherwise, he has no thought, wish, or hope." Like Topol, the Canaanite woman is so focused on what she wants, she has no other thought or wish or hope. But Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman is a little unsettling. This is not the Jesus we're used to hearing about. The Jesus we're used to hearing is that he would have heard the plea and say, "Woman, I take care of your child. She is free of demons." And this does not happen this morning. This woman has everything working against her, and Jesus doesn't look like he's going to give her a break. Number one, she's a female. We all know these restrictions. We've talked about them. She is a female. She is in public without a man. She is talking to a man, a Jew, no less. And she only knows him by reputation. She knows she's a Gentile. She is a spiritual outcast. She in no way has a right to be approaching Jesus, and she knows it, and she feels the full brunt of that rejection and the fear that she's going to be removed, because you got the disciples over on the side not doing a very Christian-like thing, saying, "Get rid of her. She's driving us nuts. We don't want her here. Get rid of her." So we see both Jesus and the disciples not doing a very Jesus-like thing. And that's kind of unsettling. At first, Jesus doesn't say a word to her, but he also doesn't send her away. You kind of get the disciples giving him the urge to do that. And only after she continues to be persistent in asking for his help does he turn to her and explains to her that his mission is for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it is at this point that the woman does something really interesting and very significant in Matthew's gospel. She kneels in front of him. Now, you need to know that the author of Matthew uses kneeling throughout the gospel as a way to show respect, authority, and power. So if you'll remember back at the beginning of Matthew, when the Magi come to bring their gifts to the baby Jesus, they bring the gifts and kneel before him. You'll remember that later on in Matthew, when the mother of John and James asks that her sons sit on either side of Jesus in heaven, she kneels before him in making that request. It is a sign that we recognize the kingship of a person, and in this case, Jesus. So for this woman to kneel in front of Jesus and make her request, and remember she keeps calling him Lord, is a sign that she knows of his kingship. And she knows he is something special. Now, kneeling is not only a sign of kinship, but it's also a sign of power. And there's a connection between those who kneel in front of Jesus and the healing that they receive from him. So the woman kneeling in front of Jesus not only says, "I recognize your kingship, but I recognize your authority to not only sit on the throne of David, but to also wield power over evil. So in a very simple act of kneeling, Matthew is telling us a great deal about what this woman knows about Jesus. Now, Jesus' response to that cry for help is the reiteration of his mission to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he likens her to the status of a Gentile, and that status to a small dog who longs to be fed under the table, taking the children's bread and giving it to dogs. Is what he says. Those two words, children and dogs, are very important. Because you see, in Jesus' day, children usually meant the Jews, the children of God. And dogs was the euphemism for Gentiles. And it was one of many prominent racial slurs of the time. Jesus was telling this woman that his mission was to save the Jews, not the lowly Gentiles. So again, he rejects her and insults her and tells her she's no better than a dog. Any humility, arrogance, or pride are thrown out the window. This woman has faced rejection, ridicule, and reproach. She has dealt with silence, slander, shame, and still she doesn't give up, because for whatever reasons, she will do whatever it takes to get her daughter healed. She is willing to pay that price. You know, our pride and our self-reliance and our self-conceit do not bring us any closer to God. It actually drives us away from God. The more we think we can do on our own, the more likely we are to walk away from God. And as long as we allow our pride to steer our course in life, we'll never really be driven to have the knowledge of just how needy we really are. Pride keeps us from admitting that we have weaknesses and we've done things incorrectly and we've done wrong. Pride keeps us from falling down before God in sheer desperation and despair, begging God's forgiveness. Pride keeps us from having bowed heads, bended knees, and sharing our broken hearts with God. My fear is for us that many of us would not do as this woman has. As soon as we feel rejected or ridiculed, I'm not so sure that we wouldn't just kick up our pride and walk away. When was the last time you did whatever it took and begged because that's what you needed to do to make something happen? Too often times our sense of pride gets in the way and we say, I don't have to take that from you, and walk out the door, when we know that that's exactly what we need. But our pride won't let us do it. But this woman is so desperate, there is no room for pride in her. She is going to swallow her pride, and even if it means being called a dog, she does not care. She knows she is sinful. She has made mistakes. She knows she is not worthy. She knows she's human. And that anything that Jesus has to offer her, she is not entitled to. And she concedes that she is even willing to be less than the Jews. The woman is willing to settle for crumbs that fall from the table of the master, because she knows that just that little piece of crumb is all she needs for her child to be cured. She doesn't need all of it. She just needs a small piece of it. Here is a mother who ain't too proud to beg and do so like a dog just to get a crumb that might fall from the master's table. And as a result of that humility and that desperation, Jesus is moved to say, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole in that very hour. How far are you willing to go to get crumbs from Jesus' table that we may receive his blessings? How far are we willing to go to humble ourselves, to put our pride aside, because we know there are things that are important for us to receive from God, but we're too prideful to accept them and to do what he asks? Martin Luther's final reflection, which was recorded the day before he died, was that we are beggars. That is true. And Martin Luther was right. Because you see, we're all beggars at God's table. None of us are worthy to gather up the crumbs at that table. But nevertheless, God invites us to that table to share the morsels of the bread of heaven and to drink from the cup of salvation. We are no more worthy than the woman was coming before Jesus. And God is willing to share that with us if we would only come. But you see, the problem is we don't come and beg in front of God. Because when we do, God is there for us and God listens. The problem is we're too proud to beg. Maybe we should do something outlandish. Maybe we should do something as bold as to say, "Can I have your table scraps?" Amen.